to know that Jesus is still on the throne. I always love to think about that, that the promises are true. Lord, strengthen my mind with these thoughts of how great you are.
Amen.
How awesome you are. Thinking of the words of King David says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I.
Amen.
That was the king of Israel who was defeating all the enemies around him. Said, when I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I.
Yes.
Oh, that we could have that kind of an understanding heart. You know, I wanted to say again, just before I want to continue on, but I want to exhort you to exhort one another. You know, it's so easy to say things that are contrary to exhorting or encouragement. Yeah, I was thinking about the words of Saul or Paul, who said, If you're all sorrowful, how am I going to find joy? Well, we have to encourage one another. We have to learn to do that. And I was thinking about my pastor before me, the pastor of this church. And you know, he had that wonderful gift of exhortation, or as I call it, speaking life. Wherever he went, he spoke life. It wasn't about what was going on or the gossip or, you know, what was happening. It was about Jesus. Because no matter what happening, talking about Christ does something about every situation. Because he said, if you seek first the kingdom, right? What's the rest of that scripture? And his righteousness, then what? All the things that you're concerned about, he'll take care of. That's his promise to us. But we don't do that because we still have these fleshly bodies, and unfortunately our minds are infected by the things that are around us. So we often leave the Lord out of the equation. But what a powerful thing to use your mouth to sow life, life and death in the power of the tongue, to speak words of life. That's what Christ did, and that's his purpose for us. Let our mouths be used to build the church, to build up one another, not to find fault with one another. It's easy to do that, isn't it? So easy. In fact, we could probably get groups of people together to find fault with other people. Is the Lord glorified in that? No. In fact, it's just the opposite. He's diminished in that in our own lives. I pray that we can learn to that. And I'm asking you this morning, I'm pleading with you this morning, when you go for lunch today, when you get together for coffee with a brother and sister, with your own family, speak life.
Amen.
Speak encouragement. And you'll find that the Lord is there with you, helping you to do that very thing.
Amen.
I'm so excited about the words of Jesus, as I've been telling you, but you're going to get sick of hearing it from me, because I'm going to keep on saying that. As I've said that, you know, I've studied the Word a long time, but the words of Jesus have so much meaning for me today. I just love bathing my mind in those words. My Jesus, my Savior, my Lord. How awesome it is. And I want to talk about the mind of Christ, as I was speaking about the other day. Because without the mind of Christ, we're not going to experience the things that God intended for us, such as victory, healing, deliverance, fulfilling God's will in our lives. We need to have a mind that's subject to the Word of God and the will of God. You know, I mentioned to you last week that when Jesus was taken into the wilderness, and that very thing, the thoughts of his mind were tried. The word was tried and proven victorious. It is written. Hallelujah. Satan has no power over the word of the Lord. If you want to reason with the devil, you'll lose. If you want to use your mind to reason with the devil, you will surely lose. But if you speak the word of God, there is no higher power than that. It is Jesus Christ. The Lord said, my word will go forth and accomplish that which I please and not return void. That word is Jesus, and he did not return to heaven void. He returned to heaven having the keys of hell and death, victory over the grave, power of the resurrection, as he returned back to God. Amen. The word is rich, and it's for you today, and how the Lord loves you. Can you say that this morning? How the Lord loves me. No, say it, really say it like you mean that you know he loves you. How much the Lord loves me. You know, because he's proven that over and over again in your lives. He's faithful. So we're going to continue with the mind of Christ. And I want to bring again to you the things that regarding the mind of Christ, I put down three keys to having the mind of Christ. And as we study the words of Jesus, that's exactly what's going to happen. As your mind gets familiar with Christ, the way he was, what he said, you're going to have the mind of Christ. You're going to have a powerful mind that's going to be able to withstand whatever Satan has planned for this world. Amen. You're going to be able to stand as the army of God, as warriors of this generation, spiritual warriors. You're going to be overcomers. Amen. You're going to have the word of God. You're going to speak the word of God, and it's going to accomplish things in your life and in the lives of others. There is no doubt about that. One of the things we got to start removing is doubt. Amen? Yeah. Lots of things to doubt, but the Lord doesn't want us to doubt. Christ never had that mind. So as we talk about the mind of Christ, I want to talk about the first key to having the mind of Christ is forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is such a powerful thing in our mind. To receive forgiveness is the power to heal, to make whole, to literally raise from the dead. Yes. Wouldn't you agree with that? How many have been forgiven? Yes. Of course we've been forgiven. And it literally resurrected our lives. It resurrected our minds with a new hope. Before, we didn't know what to do. We were searching, we were hungry, we were looking. And God came and gave us Jesus Christ, and it changed the way we are. Amen. It literally infected my mind to the point that I've been healed from my life. I've been made whole by the power of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Because of his blood. We're being transformed. We're being changed. We're being made completely different. So is that we're not going to recognize our former selves. And how are we being changed? By the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. Does it ever stop? I don't believe it does. I don't really believe it does. I believe that there's that constant need for the manna from heaven to keep my mind, to protect my mind, to empower my mind. The flesh is weak, but hallelujah, the spirit is strong. So, you know, all our life's experiences, all saved in our mind. How wonderful. Maybe not. But all those things, the Lord is healing. He's delivering. He's renewing with the knowledge of Christ that we're, you know, he said, you're a new creation. I'm creating you new. Old things are going to do what? Come on, they're going to pass away. And all things are going to become new in Christ. We all have experiences. We all have tragedies that's taken place in our lives. Some horrible things that I've heard about, things that happened in other people's lives. Praise God, he's able to heal the worst of the worst cases. Don't you agree with that? So, in order for our minds to be renewed, forgiveness has to be a part of our life. Not only to receive it, but to be able to forgive. And sometimes that's very difficult because the mind doesn't like to do that. Right? Especially if we've been treated unjustly or whatever, we remember that, right? But forgiveness is a part that has to play a big part in our daily lives. And I want you to think this morning, if there is unforgiveness in your heart towards anyone, because in the name of Jesus, you need to be free from that. Hallelujah. You need to be free and to be healed. And forgiveness is the key to that liberty. The word forgiveness means to forsake, to lay aside, to omit, and to forget. Did I say forget? Yes, I did. That's exactly what the word means. So, the first area of forgiveness we see is the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus. What's the result, the effect of on our mind of being forgiven? Thankfulness is certainly a part of that. And freedom is a part of that. But the greatest thing that happens to us is love. And I'll give you the scripture for that. This is things that take place in our mind because we have received the forgiveness that we are so undeserving for. In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, Jesus said, in regards to the woman who was found in sin, wherefore I say unto you, her sins which are many are forgiven. Can you imagine? I try to put myself in that place and imagine what it would be like. My death sentence has been pronounced. It's justified by the law. And people are gathered around to carry it out that very moment. And Jesus says her sins are forgiven. And then said, you that are without sin, you start throwing the stones. Sister said to me yesterday, we should have a bucket of stones at the foyer when people come in and walk by it. And just say, anybody without sin, take a stone, take it to your seat, and we'll find somebody to stone a little later as the meeting goes on. I I thought that was a good idea. Some of us are like that, though. We could take up a stone and do that. There's sometimes we have those periods of that. That's not good. So the result of being forgiven by Jesus Christ is love. Love that you've never known before, because love is of God. It's not of this world. This world's love is very temporal. It's really non-committal. It's brief, and it's wrapped up more in lust than it is in anything else. God's love is completely and totally different from the love that you find in the world. And many of you have experienced the world's love and now experience the love of Jesus Christ, or the love of God through Jesus Christ. It's life-changing, isn't it? It's like I'm loved and the love will never end. I'm being loved even right now at this moment. The love of God, it just takes a moment in my mind to think, and I realize how much I'm loved, how much He loves me. Just makes you want to throw up your hands and say, thank you. Hallelujah. Your sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, what does it say? The same loveth little. So depending on the quantity of sin, according to this scripture, you've been forgiven, is directly related to the amount of love that you've received and that you're able to give. Are you following me? The most loving people in Christ you're going to find are those people that have been forgiven. Wow, you can't number it. Who are those that have been forgiven little? Anybody know where we could associate that group of people with? Okay. It has to do with self-righteousness. You don't need much forgiveness if you are already fairly righteous. I'm not that bad. I remember Pastor Rod telling us that one time about his own life. And he's not that bad. He's a decent man. And he found Jesus, and Jesus shook everything out for that. Thank you, Lord. Religion teaches us that. But true religion teaches us that there is a debt that we cannot repay. That we have been forgiven things that are absolutely impossible for us to reconcile without that blood of Jesus Christ. So here we are. Evidence of the Lord's mercy. Look around you. Come on. This is really important. Look around you. There isn't a person in here whose name is written in heaven who hasn't been saved by grace through faith, that hasn't received abundant mercy from God in their lives for their sin, which was, and the wages of that sin is death. And here we are this morning sitting together praising the Lord for His awesome mercy that He's shown us over and over again. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord. For we unworthy lift our hands to You who are worthy, who has made us worthy by the blood of Christ, that we have become His righteousness. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Lest we become exalted in our own religious thoughts. For whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. The parallel. love and forgiveness. If you're forgiven a lot, you're going to love a lot. It's going to show in your eyes, in your on your face, in every part of your life. That love is going to show. It's there. I'm beloved. I praise God that I'm named that. I am loved. I love that. I wish you all could be called David, because that's wonderful to remind yourself that you're loved. And I do all the time. I do. Seriously, I do. So forgiveness for our sins through the blood of Jesus. Is that a one-time event? No, come boldly before the throne of grace, find help in time of need. We need grace as we carry on. It's that body of death that Paul talked about, oh wretched man that I am. We need the grace and mercy of the Lord. I can't live without it. As he leads us on. The next is forgiveness of others in our lives for those things that they have done or for the things that we have been wronged in. You know, there's a stumbling block that a lot of believers can't get over. And you know, Satan is aware of that. Satan knows all about forgiveness and unforgiveness because he wants to magnify those issues, those thoughts of wrong, of somebody that hurt you, somebody that brought you a great deal of pain in your life, and wants to bring that image to you again. And you know, if you allow him to, he can put you back in that same situation. So you're almost feeling, experiencing that again. But he has no right to do that. Because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So what's the problem then? Why does it happen? Because we can say that. And yes, as it comes along and we recognize it, then we can rebuke it. But something has to change so that it has no reason to continue to happen. And first I want to illustrate there are some people that are comfortable. They're comforted by that in their lives. They love that position because it becomes a justification for their inability to cope with life, to cope with certain things. But I have this. I've been wronged, and that's the way I am. I'm feeling this way because I was treated that way. You know, that's unforgiveness, brothers and sisters, because forgiveness is forgetfulness. Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't forgive and remember? He forgives and forgets. That's how great he is. So our forgiveness, which comes from the Lord, has to be forgive and forget. So those things that make you feel comfortable, that give you the power to have a justification for the way you are, I want to tell you how against the Lord that is. Because it diminishes his power from heaven to transform you. And it exalts your mind and your thoughts against his power, because his purpose is to renew you, to create anew. And I've seen that many times in discussions with people. They hold on to that thing for years and years. I've been wronged. My mommy and daddy didn't treat me properly. And my goodness, that's happening all over the world today. The children are suffering because the parents are selfish. Don't let that happen as a Christian parent. Bless your children. Bring them into the presence of the Lord. Bring them to church. Get them in the presence of the Lord. Who cares if they want to be there or not? Until they're old enough that they can fight you off, then that's different. Call up a couple of brothers. I want my child to be in church. We're going to need a straitjacket. I want get them in the presence of the Lord. That's all I want. I want them to be in the presence of the Lord. I want them. Can he touch them? Yes. I've watched the young people at camp and in the Sunday schools and the places. The Lord loves to touch the little children. He loves to minister to them, to touch their little minds, to have an introduction with them, to have a relationship with them. He wants to make provision for him to touch your children. Hallelujah. What an awesome God. He loves the children. Many people have been wronged by their parents. Some very horrible, 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 disgusting things. But I found Jesus now. Haven't you? My healer, my deliverer. Why do we forgive? Because it's a sinful man. You can't bring morality to the world. You can't go and, you know, the Lord's will isn't that we have signs that are you know, picket abortion clinics or gay rights movement. That's not our mandate is to preach the gospel, not to make sinners moral, because you're still in your sin. Lord, I pray this morning that as we gather together, that each one that's sitting here will have a revelation, will be able to completely recollect if there are people in their lives that they need to forgive and to forget, so that they can put their dependence and trust in you, so that they can be changed. I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. Reveal to us those things in our lives that hold us from deliverance in regards to this forgiveness, Lord. We've been forgiven. We want to forgive. Yes. You know, one of the ways that my pastor dealt with me as I was growing up and a young ordained minister was to, and I'd always complain about people. And he'd always say to me, remember, you were forgiven your sins. And I always just think, what has that got to do with what we're talking about? Until I started to remember. Then everything seemed to be less important than I was making it. The Lord's the orchestra leader, isn't he? Yes. And if you're a trombone, you got your line to play. Yes. Right? Yes. And if you're over there playing the violin, you got your line to play. You can't play that line, they can't play that. It would sound horrible. But the Lord knows who's going to play what when. He's the orchestrator of our lives. Let's move on. I urge you, in Christ, to leave those things that are behind and press towards the mark. It's Satan's tool to stop us from growing. It really is. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he's going to remind you of all the things that you did wrong. It's time to move on. And so I want to talk to you about that. The reason that happens in our minds is because something still needs to change in our minds that catches Satan trying to bring those accusations, those experiences back to our minds again. And that is that renewing of our mind, having the mind of Christ. Because that mind of Christ has already overcome Satan in all his little insidious ways. So the second one is forgiveness of others in our lives and their wrongs. And I ask you to do that in your life. And I ask you to forgive anyone that you are connected and say, I am also going to forget. My life is going to change because of Christ's word. The next thing is forgiveness of ourselves. Forsaking our past. And that's forgetting. You know, once we've been forgiven, we've been forgiven. In the Lord's eyes. The Lord isn't there to remind us of all those things. And I think when we bear thankfulness, it's not remembering the sins that we committed, but the gross sin as a whole that's been washed away. Sometimes it's hard to forgive yourself, especially if you're a repeat offender. Hello, everybody. Are we still there? It's not even time to get close to quitting yet. If you're a repeat offender, it becomes harder and harder. I can't make it. I can't do it. And of course, you know, it's great fodder for the enemy, isn't it? To can say, you know, look at you. You're a failure. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is still on the throne and he's still an advocate. And he still has the power to forgive. Yes. How many times? 490, roughly. His mercy is everlasting. If you're a repeat offender, I pray this morning that the mercy that you receive, that will so infect your mind that the direction you're going will be to serve the Lord and to let him complete the work that he began. Or the work he's doing. Forget. I think that for me, the beautiful thing about the mind of the spirit is, I've said this before, but this is a revelation that I had. It really helped me when I was younger. You know, the longer you know the Lord, I believe the longer you experience his mercy and grace, as well as his wonderful love and revelation of his word and those things. But as a young man, I found that I was condemning myself to the place that I really felt that I wasn't like other believers. I couldn't participate like they did. I was just falling short. I didn't have that ability. And you know, the Lord kind of reminded me that he was God above everything else. And he said, it's my forgiveness, more or less. He didn't say those words to me, but he really showed me that when I'm forgiven, I'm not there to try and figure out how to repay. There's some religions where you literally have to pay for your sin. You know, you have to do penance. You have to do something to somehow get it back. That's not the Lord. He said, go and sin no more. And I, after that understanding, I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, one of the greatest things that changed me in my life. I said, Lord, I'm going to rise up today as though I'm completely forgiven. That everything that I've done to displease you, to grieve you, that's against you is gone. And I'm going to continue on. Yes. And I'm going to take a proactive stance that if I'm wrong in this assumption that you've forgiven me, taking your word for what it is and your promises for what, if I'm wrong, then you stop me. Otherwise, I'm going to just be going on as though I'm completely forgiven. Yeah. And from that day, he never, ever stopped me, never shut me down. And I experienced a grace that I've never experienced before. Had more power to deliver my mind from condemnation. And I urge you to think of it that way. You know, if everything should be brought up, none of us could stand. He's so holy. He's so righteous. But we're going to be like that. Amen. Come on. I want you to say that. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm being made to be like Jesus. It's Christ in you, isn't it? So, you got to forget. You've got to accept the promises and the Word of God for what it says. Trust in the Lord. And I would really implore you to take a proactive stance instead of a reactive stance. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. How many need some tenderization in their hearts? Yeah, tender-hearted. That would be a whole message, I think, don't you? We could bring the meat tenderizer that morning and make that stony, hard heart palatable. Tender-hearted, what does it say? Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We forgive because we've been forgiven. If we don't forgive, it makes the forgiveness of Christ null and void. It has no power. It has never really been done. It's not really happened in our lives. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Jesus said these wonderful words. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. How many believe there's some kind of a condition in there? I know we don't like conditions. Seems to me there's something in there that we should consider. And the next verse says, verse 15 says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a big one. Don't you agree? It's huge. I think it's a stumbling block. I think it's why a lot of people aren't able to move on. They forgive. They say, I've received forgiveness, but yet they can't forgive others. It's the craziest thing, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, for making your word and your way so clear to us. So I'm going to forgive everybody that I ever wronged me in my life, and I'm going to completely forget it and move on to seek the kingdom. Amen. And by doing that, I'm going to break every chain and every bind and every tether that Satan has in my life. Amen. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? I want you to wait. I want you to meditate. I want you to be mindful of the time when it comes up, when you have a hardness. When somebody in here doesn't act like a brother or sister, when they wrong you, when they've spoken outrightly against you, and you're going to say, I love them because they are my brother or they're my sister, and it's up to Father to deal with them. Yes. It's up to me to forgive, but they haven't said anything. Doesn't matter. I forgive. I don't want anything to hold me back from moving on with you, Lord Jesus. I don't want my foolish mind to get caught up in all in the hardness and the doubts and the questions about my brothers or sisters or anything like that. I just want to go for the kingdom and stop all the distraction for heaven's sake. Amen. There's distraction on the left. There's distraction to take you over there, to take you down this road. Instead, we should be going straight on to the kingdom of heaven. We should be preaching the gospel, going and witnessing the gospel to the lost. We should be praying, encouraging one another. Instead, the distraction. What about this? What about that, sister? Well, they said this and they said that. Praise God, He's our Father. And He's a good Father, an all-knowing Father, and a righteous father who says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Just leave that with me, saith the Lord.
Yes.
I'm on it. And by the way, he doesn't ever do that in our time. But in my lifetime, I know for sure that the Lord has always, when I've allowed my mind to receive those thoughts, he has always made the way right. He is my helper. He is my shield. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. Glory. And I trust in you this morning, Lord, that you are going to deliver us from that power, that unforgiveness, so that we can receive forgiveness and, hallelujah, continue the run, the race for the prize. Forgive others who do not think deserve forgiveness. Amen. Isn't it great that you're not the gauge of righteousness? Contrary to your own thinking, it says that we should forgive others contrary to our own thinking so Satan doesn't get advantage of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 to 11. You can find that account. In the end, Paul says, you need to forgive that person, him. It's dealing with a specific issue. And he says, so Satan doesn't get advantage of you. How does Satan get advantage of you if you don't forgive? Anybody know? You become bitter, you become hard in your heart, right? It begins to be paramount in your mind because the Lord doesn't let it go. Matthew chapter 18, 21 to 35. I don't think I'm going to read that all. But it's the Lord's parable regarding forgiveness.
Amen.
And it's wonderful. It's the words of Jesus. May I recommend this reading for you today? I've asked you to do this so that we could be on the same page together. I've asked you to read the Gospels. I go through them again. Take out there the things that really minister to your life, that speak to you, because that's powerful, and your mind is going to be changed. Your thinking is going to be changed. Believe me, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have a powerful mind. Remember, it's that doubt and it's that fear, it's that inconsistency that stops us from being able to be free, to be delivered, and to deliver. And to do whatever it is the Lord wants us to do. Doubtful mind. I know, I've had that for years. I never believed the Lord could do anything with me. I had no confidence in the Lord whatsoever. Hallelujah, that changed. Oh, I'm so happy that changed. That I could do something for Jesus, and that's what I'm doing. I'm going to continue doing that. Praise God through his love and mercy and forgiveness. I'm going to finish the course. Mark 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, he said, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Once again, if you're praying, there's no point praying if you have unforgiveness. And everybody that had forgiveness said,
amen.
A new forgiveness. So forgiveness is truly a key to the spiritual mind. It's not just to say I forgive, but it's forgetting. Amen? You know, sometimes if you're having some kind of a conflict or argument, you know, there's a tendency, if you get heated and you're not going to have a controlled mind, that you want to bring up something from the past. Husbands and wives especially have to deal with that because they know each other so well, right? Who knows your life and the worst of it more than your own spouse? So don't do that to one another, all right? Even if you're arguing, don't bring up your spouse's past that's been forgiven and washed in the blood. That's a horrible thing to do to make your point. Rather to be, don't say a word. Pray, and the Lord will bring some kind of a calm in there. To forget and not mention it anymore. End of it. That kind of forgiveness is really a healing forgiveness. You can bring healing. Husbands and wives, you can bring healing to one another in forgiveness. You're in such close quarters, of course there's going to be issues and difficulties and arguments that get way out of control. But you know what? It's that forgiveness that's healing. It's that reconciliation that's heavenly. It's powerful. It's life-changing. It's altering. Has anybody experienced that? Yes. Amen. That's a godly thing. Amen. So, a child of God who can forgive has truly found the secret place of trust. Trust in the Lord. My life is in His hands. Read those scriptures that reinforce those things in your life, that He loves you, that He has a purpose for you, that He's prepared a place for you. Don't you love that? Oh Lord, bathe my mind in those things that I might remember the promises that You've made concerning me and my life. Let my mind be renewed even now, remembering that You said to me that don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what my mind needs. That's what my thoughts need. Those beautiful, wonderful, foundational words of Christ in my life so that I can carry on and focus. And, you know, the next key is humility, and I'm not going to go into it because I wouldn't finish it. And then the last key is the love of Christ. So I want to leave you with that, but I want to challenge you this morning. Don't let your life go on. Don't live in a place where you cannot receive forgiveness from heaven. Are you hearing me? Don't let your life and your mind stay in a place where you're unable to receive forgiveness because you don't forgive. Let it go. Let it go. Let the Lord take control of those things that are your greatest concern.